The leader of the Labour Party, Ivana Bacik, has described a report by the Attorney General on legal advice to the government on nursing home fees as disappointing. Last night, the government published a report on its legal strategy on pre-2005 private nursing home charges and pre-2007 disabled persons' maintenance allowances. Attorney General Rossa Fanning concluded the legal advice provided to the government was, quote, sound, accurate and appropriate, and that there was no legal duty to make retrospective payments on the disabled person's maintenance allowance. Well, Professor Conor O'Mahony is Deputy Dean at the School of Law at University College Cork, and he joins us now. Professor O'Mahony, thank you for speaking to us today. You were writing in the Business Post at the weekend that the state's legal strategy on nursing home charges is the rule, not the exception. What do you make of what we've had now from the Attorney General defending and outlining the government's approach to these sort of cases?
Good afternoon, Brian. Well, I think what we see from the Attorney General is really confirmation that within the state's legal offices and across government departments, that really this is very much an embedded pattern, and that essentially all of the people who are responsible for directing litigation of this sort are fully of the view that there's nothing untoward or nothing unusual about the manner in which the state contests litigation. Now, the report sort of jumps back and forth a little bit between focusing in narrowly at times on the specific issue of nursing home charges, but then at other times making more general statements about the state's right to defend litigation more generally. And in that regard, it does at times, I think, fail to account for the fact that while there might be specific issues like on nursing home charges where perhaps you have issues which are in something of a legal grey area, that there are other areas where perhaps the state's legal obligations are less contested or perhaps clearer with respect to what the state might be expected to do. And yet we see more or less the same tactics of the state very vigorously defending litigation arising across a range of contexts, even though those cases might call for a different approach at times.
In those grey areas, legal grey areas, as you describe them, do you accept the AG's contention, and I quote from his report here, that it's, quote, entirely legitimate for the government to take steps to avoid making substantial compensation payments in circumstances where it is not legally obliged to do so?
Yes, so there's a number of comments in the report to the effect that we don't want to have a situation where the state has to concede to every single possible legal claim that would be brought against it. And of course, that is a fair point. Nobody is really claiming that the state should concede every single legal point made against it. But the reality is that there's a spectrum of cases here. There are some cases where there is no clear legal obligation. There are other cases where the legal obligation that arises on the state, arising from, for example, the constitutional obligation to provide education for children with special educational needs, or where you have international court decisions that are made against Ireland in respect of historical abuses, just to give two examples. We still see that the state adopts more or less the same strategy in defending those cases as it does in cases where perhaps you might say that it's purely a matter of policy and that no legal obligation arises. So I think to that extent, the report really failed to grasp the fact that that this is a wider issue than just nursing home charges, that this is an issue where we don't have an equality of arms between the state and perhaps on occasion very vulnerable people who are coming forward through no preference of their own find themselves litigating against the state and exposing themselves to very significant cost and stress in doing so.
Yeah, there is one other aspect of the nursing home charges issue, particularly in relation to those individuals who had medical cards, but there was no place available for them in a public facility and they paid for private nursing home care. Now, we know a number of those cases were settled, but it's still not clear, is it, why those cases were settled?
Well, what the report talks about in terms of settlement of cases is essentially the idea of risk management, that it's managing the risk of what might happen in litigation later on. It equates this to sort of taking out fire insurance in a business that it's the state just managing the levels of risk. And again, it characterises this as perfectly normal and questions why it is that people have criticised the state for settling certain cases when it makes the point that if the court, or if the state at the continue to drag people all the way to a final judgment, it may be criticised for dragging people through the courts. Again, what that seems to avoid really is the fact that where you have situations where cases are settled, for example, if somebody litigates about their exclusion from a particular scheme and then is offered a settlement, what we never tend to see is that the state goes back and looks at the scheme and thinks, well, perhaps we need to extend the scheme. If we're going to offer settlements to some people who've litigated based on their exclusion from the scheme, perhaps the scheme itself needs to be broadened to include other people who are in identical circumstances. That doesn't tend to happen. What instead happens is that the people who can litigate get their settlements. The people who aren't in a position to litigate or don't litigate often find themselves empty-handed, which is quite a discriminatory position, really, that, again, you know, illustrates the point that there are situations where the state is forcing people to litigate in circumstances where that could be avoided.
Very good. Professor Conor O'Mahony of UCC, thank you very much for that. After the break, we'll be hearing about a renewed appeal for information relating to the disappearance 25 years ago of Fiona Sinnott.